Radio friends, last week we were privileged to hear the first part of a message entitled The Biblical Priorities of a Christian Marriage. The message was originally given at a marriage conference held in the Trinity Protestant Reformed Church in Hudsonville, Michigan in October of 2003. This afternoon we are going to be airing the second half of that timely message. We saw last week that Professor Gritters pointed out clearly from the Word of God that marriage can, along with all things, have but one ultimate purpose, the glory of God. In his remarks today, he's going to point out that this is most practical and has tremendous implications for our marriage. If a Christian couple comes to understand that the ultimate purpose of their marriage is indeed to glorify God, then, in the words of Professor Gritters, they have taken an important first step in living a happy Christian life in their marriage. Things, so to speak, will begin to fall into place. The ideas of sacrifice and the ideas of the goal and purpose of every day of their marriage will become very plain to them. In the second half of his speech, Professor Gritters is going to draw out in a very practical manner some of these implications. Exactly what does it mean for us in our daily life and on a practical level that our marriages are to seek the glory of God? Now, I cannot help but stress again the importance of the subject that we are considering today and the importance of the speech that we are about to hear. Anyone who's taken a walk through the family section of the local Christian bookstore will readily see that modern Christians have become tremendously interested in the subject of marriage and the family. In fact, it's become a booming business. Books, conferences, seminars, and marriage conferences. But much of this is not a sign of health in the Christian church, but a sign of disease. It's almost like a terminal cancer patient fervently researching alternate treatments, hoping against hope that something can be done. More and more men and women are desperate for their own happiness in their marriage or in their relationships and are attempting to find what might be called a quick fix or some magical formula to solve all of their marriage problems. Professor Gritters is going to point out to us that this is hopeless unless God is our priority. That is, to glorify God, to obey God, and to serve God in our marriage. The most important thing for a Christian husband and a Christian wife is to know that God is the Lord. He is central to everything in their marriage. He has preeminence over all things, and therefore only when a man and a woman, a husband and wife, have that as their one priority, will all things in their marriage also fall into place. So we want to hear the second half of Professor Gritters' message today. Professor Barry Gritters is professor in the Protestant Reformed Seminary in Grand Rapids, Michigan. We are hearing the second half of a message that he delivered in October of 2003 entitled The Biblical Priorities of a Christian Marriage. Let's listen carefully as Professor Gritters concludes his remarks.
Very practically speaking, this is going to work out tomorrow as well, but I'll let them do the details tomorrow. Very practically speaking, then, my life is not my own. It's for my spouse. Her life is not her own, but it's for the spouse. I'm going to die to serve her. She's going to spend her life till it's all gone for my sake. That's what marriage is all about. For God's glory and not for my joy and my pleasure. When I live that way in marriage, and when spouses live that way in marriage, then that kind of conduct and that kind of attitude is going to go in all directions and radiate in every part of our life. It's going to radiate in this part of our life. That's why we want to have children. Not to satisfy me, but to glorify God, because the product of the relationship between Jesus Christ and His church is children. Not just one or two. So that when we get old, we might have someone to take care of us. but so that God may be glorified by a fruitful church, by a growing church, by a church of families. If God is so pleased to bless our marriages, that attitude will reflect in all kinds of areas. It will reflect in how we spend our money, what we spend our money for. It will reflect in what we do on a Friday night, like come here. What we do with our spare time. Where we go on our vacations. How often we visit the sick, the nursing homes, the hospitals. We're not here for us. We're here for Him. Selfless, sacrificial, self-denying giving of a husband to a wife and a wife to her husband so that God may be glorified, and it's not for our joy. I'm going to repeat that. It's not for our joy. You want to know one of the nicest examples of that or illustrations of that? When a man sins against his wife, then this needs to happen. Honey, I'm sorry. And then this. Hun, I forgive you. Easy enough? Anyone who's married knows how hard it is to choke out those words. Honey, I'm sorry. I sinned. Hun, I forgive you. So important for a godly marriage, but so difficult. Why is it so important? Because that's the way it goes between Christ and us. Why so difficult? Because I have to die to say I'm sorry, to admit I was wrong, that I sinned, that I blew it. And my spouse has to die to let me go and say, I forgive you, instead of allowing that to be an opportunity to do what she would like to do or he would like to do back. Freely. Not because I deserve it, not because she deserves it, but freely. Why? So that we may learn something about the relationship between Jesus Christ and us, who forgives us freely. As we repent and as we say we're sorry, He comes and says, you don't deserve it, but for my sake and my glory, I forgive you. Learn, see, come to know and love what it's like to live with Jesus Christ, and let your marriage conform itself more and more and shape itself more and more so that when someone looks at you, they say, I've learned something about Jesus Christ and His church. That's what we need to maintain in this world. That's the kind of witness that we need to have in our marriage conferences. And anyone who is not Protestant Reformed here tonight, then you may know this, that our love for you is such that you learn this about us. We're not interested in our joy. We're not interested in our glory. In obedience to Jesus Christ, we want to be, and we want you to be with us, serving Him and Him only. We need to be that kind of a light in the darkness. We live in a dark, dark world. One of the backgrounds, President Clinton, Okay, that's the background too, isn't it? One of the backgrounds to President Bush's declaration of a Marriage Protection Week in 2003 is that he knows what's going on in the homosexual agenda and the anti-marriage agenda and lobbying in Washington, D.C. and all through our country. We live in a dark, dark, wicked, vilely wicked world. The purpose of this, of the devil behind those movements, the homosexual agenda, the anti-marriage agenda, and the rest, whether that's the explicit purpose of the people involved or not, we can't tell, usually, is to destroy marriage so that that relationship of Christ and the church is dishonored. And we must be at the forefront in the world making a loud declaration. This is why we want marriages preserved. Not because we want the happiness of people, but because we are the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, we must honor Him in our marriages too, in our earthly relationships of husbands and wives. In a world where marriage is for self and our own enjoyment and pleasure, and because it's for ourselves in this world, that's what marriage is, there are quick, easy divorces so that you can be happy perhaps in the next marriage that you have. That's not what it's all about, but that's what the world's agenda is. The world's agenda is lust and sex, and that's why the television, or most of what's on television, is an enemy to the Church of Jesus Christ. It's an enemy of the Church of Christ because it's an enemy of that relationship, the holy union of Jesus Christ and His bride, reflected in the holy union of one man and one woman for life, sacrificing themselves for each other. There's nothing of that in the television culture and the culture of our land. And at the very pinnacle of the vileness of our country is the sin of homosexuality, where there is nothing but one sin, self and pleasure for myself. The church needs to be a light in the midst of that dark, dark world. Very dark world. We need to be a light in two ways. One, that we live in such a way that our neighbors can see. Our neighbors can see. We may never speak to them. We ought to, but we may never have opportunity to speak to them. But they will see by our marriages, and then by the marriages of our children, if God so blesses us with children, in their marriages, what the relationship is between Jesus Christ and His church, a holy union for life. Second, then we speak and witness. First, from here, from the pulpit, inviting all of the neighborhood to hear what we preach and teach about marriage, God-glorifying marriages. But don't let it stop here. Continue speaking. Take the pamphlets in the back. I hope many of them are free. Give them to your neighbor. Give them to your friends. Tell them this is what we believe about marriage. This is how we want our marriages to be. Not because we want to be happy, but because we want to honor our Lord Jesus Christ. Be lights, people of God. Be shining bright lights in the middle of a dark, dark world. And so conform your marriages. If God has given you the opportunity to be married, to reflect that marriage. And then, here's the icing on the cake. Then, in your marriage, you will be happy. Now, don't say you're taking back at the end everything you gave at the beginning. Now you'll be happy if you do that. There will be joy in your marriage if you live that way. I want you to be very, very clear here. Understand, your happiness is not the goal. My happiness is not the priority in my conduct in my marriage, but it's God's reward and the byproduct of living in the way that we ought to live in marriage. I and my spouse will be happy, and you will too. Be very, very careful here as to the order. The order is not, I'm going to live that way because in the end I'm going to be happy in my marriage. To say that would be like saying, after you've read Matthew 5 and 6 and 7, which teaches us to seek first the kingdom of heaven and its righteousness, and all these other things will be added to us. Well, I'm going to seek the kingdom of heaven first because I'm interested in all of these things that God's going to add to me. Food, good food. Drink, fine drink. Clothing and shelter. I'm not going to tell anybody. My goal is to get all these good things. And God says the way to get these good things is seek first the kingdom of heaven. And you say, that's backwards, isn't it? Well, of course it's backwards. That's the byproduct. That's the reward. Usually, our goal is seek first the kingdom. And now in marriage too. Seek first the glory of God in our marriages, and the God-given reward and byproduct will be usually, maybe we can talk later about what that usually means. Usually will be that we will be happy in our marriages. Isn't that the paradox of the Christian life in play again? You have to lose your life to gain it. And only those who lose their lives will in the end gain. But what a gain to have that joy in marriage. What a joy to live that way in marriage. You know what kind of joy it is to be with Christ, don't you? To have Him speak to you and say to you so that you know without a doubt, I love you. To know without a doubt the testimony of Jesus Christ, I'm always going to love you. I'm never going to let you go. To live with Him in such a way that you feel His embrace, strong embrace, to live with Him intimately, to hear Him tell you all of the secrets of His counsel, to hear Him say, I want to be with you all of the time. I never want to leave you. I never want you to leave me. We're going to be like this forever and ever and ever. Is there any greater delight for the child of God than that, to have Jesus Christ say that? That's the kind of joy that you will experience in your marriage when you live your lives in marriage to His honor and His glory. There's very little better than that in marriage. Delight in your spouse. Be ravished with her love and His love. But the main thing, our marriage to Christ. Married or unmarried, we have that. And that will never end. Priority. One of them.
The one question that came during coffee time is, how do the other priorities in marriage relate to this one main and key priority? And the example that was given is Eve being created to be an help to Adam. So how do the other priorities in marriage relate to this one main and key priority? I like that question because it helps get at really the main point of my speech. And I guess if I could have spoken an hour, then I could have talked about some of those other sub-priorities or related priorities. But let's start with the example of Eve being an help to Adam. If the one priority is the glory of God through Christ's relationship to His church, then the woman's place in marriage is to reflect the church's relationship to Christ. The church serves Christ. The church lives for the honor of Christ. The church exists in the world so that everyone knows that Christ is great. That's all she's interested in. Now, the wife in marriage is going to live that way too. She doesn't live for her glory. She doesn't live so everyone can see her. She doesn't want to walk in church having everyone see her
rather than her husband. And then she's in help to her husband. One other example related to that. The husband's calling is to reflect Christ. If you look at Ephesians 5, then Ephesians 5 shows some of the elements of the relationship in marriage. One of them that sticks in my mind always is this. He sanctifies the church by the Word, with the washing of water by the Word. That's how Christ sanctifies the church. That's how He beautifies His church. If a husband is going to do that, if a husband is going to be a good husband, he needs to know the Word. If he wants to be a godly husband and reflect the glory of God in marriage, he better know the Word so that by the Word he can teach his wife and help her. And that will form her more and more to be a glorious bride in marriage, as Christ, as the church is a glorious bride of Christ. I don't know if that helps at all, but other priorities, every other relationship in marriage is related in some way to that one main priority. Glorify Jesus Christ and His church in our earthly marriage.